All right, so turn with me to Mark chapter 11. I want to continue in our part two of Mind Your Language. Mind Your Language. I want to share four D's with you about your language, all right? What is it about your language? Four D's. I will make it very brief, okay? Four D's. Four D's. And so we want to take our text again from Mark chapter 11. Now, you know the story and how we said last week that Jesus was, you know, he said something. He told them. He spoke to a tree, to a fig tree. And in verse 20, the Bible says, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. And then Jesus gave him a clue. And he said to them, have faith in God, which you already have, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says, and many of us stop there, right? We stop there. We just have faith, but we don't say anything or we say the wrong things. So it's not enough to have faith. You have to know how to use this faith. So he said, this is how it works. Have faith in God, number one. And then he said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. You will have whatever you say. You will have whatever you say. You will have whatever you say. Whatever you say to that in that house, you will have it. Whatever you say to that child, you will have it. Whatever you say about your career, you will have it. Whatever you say in your home, you will have it. And so many of us live in an atmosphere that are toxic and poisoned because we say the wrong things. But I pray that the grace to sanctify our atmosphere will rest upon us in Jesus' mighty name. I pray that the grace to sanctify our atmosphere, make it God attractive, will rest upon you and I. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And James 3 verse 2, from verse 2 says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. So in other words, if you can control the tongue, you can control the whole body. If you can control the tongue, man, if you can control your speech, you can manage your language. It's the most difficult thing you will ever do as an individual. It's the most difficult thing. And many of us, our angels, I went to preach a message on angels on assignment. Our angels are so handicapped because we tell ourselves the wrong thing all the time. We say the wrong things about our jobs. Yes, I know you need a change, but you don't have to destroy that job, destroy that career with the fruit of your lips. Do you understand? We just say the wrong things and we just emit this negative, toxic thing. And you are a prophet. A puppy is a dog, period. You know what I mean? Yeah? The offering of a dog is a dog. The offering of a cat is a kitten. A kitten is a cat, right? So we are made in the image of God. That makes you a god. Makes you a god. So get comfortable with it. And the Bible says that God said, God said, God said, and everything he said, he saw. You will see everything you say. You will. You will. Because of who you are spiritually. Your spiritual composition, right? Your spiritual composition enlists you, right? And engraces you with the capacity to create. We have to understand these things now, brothers and sisters, right? Because we are Christians. You know, you may not take yourself serious and think, well, it's just me. I'm just saying this. No, you can't say that. The day you were born again, spirit-filled, you are different. But we don't know because we are in this habit of discounting ourselves. We never take ourselves serious. Most people don't take themselves serious. But I'm saying and telling you, whether you take yourself serious or not, your words are powerful. Do you understand that? And it's only the devil who knows that you are powerful. That's why he's after you to kill you. But you don't know. And I say, it doesn't matter. No, don't live like that. All right? So indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth, that they may obey us. So we want to control that big animal. It says, hold their mouth together, and you can control his destiny. Hold their mouth together, and you can control his destiny. Yeah? And that's what the Bible is teaching us. And so hold your mouth together, and you can control your destiny. Manage your language, and you can control your destiny. The devil is not as strong as you think the enemy is. The forces, he said, greater is he that is in you. Greater is he. He said, those who are for us are more than those who are against us. Do you understand what I'm saying? So listen. So if you can manage your speech, you can do so much more. You can fly higher. You can. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, so your speech can resist contrary winds. Your speech. And the Bible says, look at the ship. It says that they are controlled by a very small rudder. There is one small thing in your body that is capable of controlling, directing, managing your entire life. It's called your speech. Your tongue. How you talk. The way you talk. Do you understand, church? You're very quiet now. Yeah. Sit down. I want to go and sit down now. Yeah. Am I preaching to myself here? Yeah. Are you quiet because you are guilty? All right. So the Bible says, and the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. Can you see that? And sets on fire the course of nature. And it sets on fire by hell. See, tongue. Look at you. Look at how they describe the way you speak, your speech. It can defile anything. My goodness. So let me just share with you the things you need to watch out for. Right? The first D is direction. Your tongue can direct you. And we've talked about that. Yeah. Manage the tongue and manage destiny. You can use your tongue to steer. It gives direction. You can use your language to give direction to your children. Your language can either promote or demote. So our words can direct us and can direct others in life as well. Praise the Lord. You know, so you want to control a horse, right? You want to give a horse a direction? Just handle the rudder. Handle the reins. Bridle the mouth of the tongue, and you can put a saddle on it. See that? Right? Bridle its mouth, and you can saddle it. The same thing with you. Same thing with you. If you cannot manage your speech, you can never give your life direction. Show me a man or a woman who has no control over how he or she speaks, and I will tell you a man or a woman who is directionless. That's a disaster waiting to happen. No control. I'm telling you. You can be very intelligent. Yeah, many of you are. You can be academically sound. Forget. You can have qualifications and be directionless. Where it matters the most on the course ways of life, you can't perform. Anybody can read a textbook back and forth and memorize and pass an exam. But where it matters the most, relationship, you can't show up. Have you not seen people who are extremely good at what they do, but you will not sit on the same flight with them if you have your choice? I don't know what I'm talking about. They are very, very good at what they do, best at what they do, but my goodness, you cannot relate with them. Do you understand that? So your speech will direct you. Your speech will direct others. Those of you who are leaders, and you start leading, you are a leader, whether you believe it or not. And you will start by leading yourself. And then you lead your household, right? And many of you are leaders at work. And many of you are leaders. You have influence over people, right? You can use your speech to direct their path positively or negatively. Do you understand? I was saying in the first step, that's why we make the mouth of the plane so small, right? It's part of the aerodynamic system. Keep the mouth small. It's the smallest part. You see the nose of the plane? See, have you seen where they give to the passengers? Always very big. Have you seen the cockpit? Have you seen the cockpit of a plane? You can barely put five people there. But they give you extra leg room. In fact, they say you can actually fly and lie down flying. Just you know, they call it the flat bed, isn't it? And then you are quite happy to pay and fly like that. But have you seen those who are going somewhere? The ones responsible for the flight. The ones responsible for the flight. They can barely. They don't feel comfortable. Have you seen it? The captain, co-pilot, and the flight. What do you call it? Is it the flight assistant? They call it. Yeah. They sit down like a sounding box. Yeah. In a very small. They're smaller, right? He says the least member of the family. Though it's small, but it's powerful. So until you manage your speech, right, you can't be airborne. Can't be airborne. So the devil is not after anyone, but they don't have enough. Their speech is not grace enough to deliver on their destiny. If you want this destiny, you can't talk like this. So for many of us, our expectation of our destiny is this big, but our speech equally is this big. No, your speech should be like this. Direction. Direction. Number two, our words can destroy us and can destroy others. It says, stones and sticks, what? Sticks and stones may break my bone, but what? Yeah. That's from the pit of hell. But words can never hurt me. They wrote that here. Who says that? Do you believe it? That's not true. Seriously? Words can't break you? Words can't break through? I say sticks and stones. Can break my bones and I will get healed. But words I can never recover from. How many of you are still thinking about what they told you when you were 10 years old? If that was a broken leg, by now you'll be back playing football. How many of you are still saying you are 35, you are still saying what happened to you when you were 5? And you've not recovered. Don't tell me what can't hurt you. Really? That's not true. That's not true. Many of us can't move forward today because of what was spoken over us when we were kids. Is it good for nothing? You are good for nothing. You are good for nothing. I mean, I went to Cyprus as an adult. And this illiterate, versus pastor is an illiterate. I'm like, which school did he go to? Can barely read, can't read. Every morning, So sorry. You know, clever. I'm a qualified accountant. You know, clever. First thing in the morning, I milk cows, and the cows, maybe you have like 7 liters short from the previous night, right? And he goes, hey, nabure, so sorry, nabure. Like she's my wife. Seriously, like she's my wife. What happened? How am I like 7 liters short from this cow today? I say, I don't know. Oh, so sorry. You know, clever. Like that's my girlfriend, right? And I milk her every morning. Every day. Versus pastor, every day. And that went on for a long time. One day, Versus showed up in town. All right, and I look at Versus and I say, oh, I know clever. You hear that long enough, you believe it. What can destroy? What can set you on a path you never imagined? What can be devastating to others? And many of us don't know that our words can be devastating. So we just open our mouth and then just talk. Talk. You can't do that. You've got to think before you speak. You cannot do that. I know you are human and you have your rights, but that's right. The right to speak like that is prohibited. Without filter. And you know one funny thing? Even when someone angry, no rules. No rules. Your words can be devastating to so many people. Words hurt people. Words can destroy people. What can reduce people to nothing? What can shatter people's confidence? I'm telling you, words. And once those words go out, you can't get it back. You can't get it back. So don't be a mean machine. Manage yourself. Don't kill someone. Words kill faster than bullets and knives. You know one funny thing? The wounds from bullets and knives we will see, but the wounds from words, they are the little internal bleeding that go on from generation to generation. So mind your mind and mind your language. You have to. As a Christian, as a member of, as your pastor, I need you to do this. And I need you to grow in this area. You have to grow in this area. Because if you don't grow in this area, there are certain things that you can never achieve. Don't let anybody fool you. I'm a sharp shooter. I like being plain, you know, like being open, right? You will pay for it. If you fail to control your language and manage your language, you will pay for it, and you pay dearly for it. If you don't pay for it, your kids will pay for it. But someone has got to pay for it. Someone has got to pay for it. So words. So watch your words. Your tongue is in a wet place, so it can be very slippery. Your tongue. Never speak out of your feelings. I was very angry when I said it. So now that you're not angry, so can you retract it? But you should know I didn't mean it. I too should walk to you and punch your lights out and say, oh, sorry, you know, I didn't mean it. You know, you should know I didn't mean it. No, you should know. Isn't it? So mind your language. Brothers and sisters, mind your language, please. Mind your language. Mind your language. There's nothing we cannot learn. If you don't know how to speak to make someone happy, just keep quiet. Go learn. How do you spend 4 years in the university and you can't learn how to speak? How? You are clever, right? Well, Google it on YouTube. Go to YouTube. How to speak to my spouse. I don't know. But don't stay where you are. It comes in, boom, and then goes out, bang. How? That's terrible. Terrible. Use your... it's Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Is that a blessing for you? Is that a curse? For me, it's a blessing. Power of the tongue. Oh, my goodness. I use my tongue to build my world. I'm telling you, my goodness. Use my tongue to build my world. I use my speech to build my world. I use my speech to create my reality. I use my speech to raise my children. I use my speech. That's where it starts from. It's the war of words. David used his speech to bring down the head of Goliath before he fired the first stone. That guy was a gunner. Have you studied his speech? You come to me with what? With swords and spears. And I said, but I come to you with, oh my goodness, the guy was gone. The guy was gone. His speech was so powerful, was so potent, that heaven has no choice but to put its weight behind a pebble. How do you explain how Goliath's head came down? Was in a stone. Have you seen the stone? It was just a stone. Have you seen Goliath? It was 6 feet something. And he had how can you bring his? That guy was gone. That guy was gone before the stone was fired. Because that was no longer ordinary stone. He picked the stone as a means as a means of attack. It could have been anything. It could have gone. And a wild wind will pick Goliath off, crash his head on the stone, and he would die. He was gone anyway. His speech. He said, but I come against you. He said, in the name of what? Eh? In the name of the God of Israel. He said, you have not spoken to me like he said, you have spoken to a whole nation. He said, so I come against you today in the name of the God of Israel. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to charge towards you, right? I'm going to grab your own sword. I'm not going to cut off your neck. And I mean, did it happen? Yeah. He told him. Painted a picture of what's going to happen. Does that make sense? And then he picked up his stone. Shh, 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 shh. Wah! Like cricket. Guy was a gunner. didn't see it coming. That pebble, the moment it was fired, hey! And Jeremiah said, heaven, Master Godhead, your servant has spoken, has given a nice speech we've got to defend. And it was a force from heaven. I came and took that stone. When we need to ask Goliath, what happened to you? He will tell you, after he spoke to me, I saw a rock come from heaven. You said it was a stone. Ask the dead guy when you see him. Yeah? He will tell you, I saw a boulder. A boulder came from, that guy is a giant. He's a giant. He came up with a boulder, and a boulder crashed my head, and I passed out. Speech. How am I use my speech to create my world? I live in my own bubble. Use my speech to raise my children. Use my speech to create their future. Use my speech. Use your speech to instill confidence in people. Use your speech to invest confidence in my children. Oh, my kids, my kids went for an examination, no, an interview. So I was saying the first time, they say, hey, and he came back and he wasn't selected. You know? So the ordinary father would say, oh, okay. What was the feedback? They said that was this other. Oh, okay, we work on that next time. Right? But not this father. No. He didn't take you. Oh. They don't know what's good for them. You are too good to be rejected by any organization. Are you listening to me? I only ask you to do one thing. Put in your best at any point in time. And your best is good enough for you. Those guys, that firm, they are not good. They don't know what's good for them. Right? They don't know what's good for them. And so how can you sit before an interviewer and he tells you that he's not taking you? Is he out of his mind? Do you understand what I'm saying? How do you think that kid will feel? Exactly. My daughter went for an interview in Ford and they told her that she wasn't selected. I said, not their fault. I mean, she didn't even research the company. I mean, in all fairness, you have to research the company. I wish you had heard Mr. Bosun's message last night. She didn't research the company, and then she went there. And of course, they didn't take her. Oh, no. I said, how did he go? He said, Dada, I wasn't taking. You were not taking. My goodness. Who can make that kind of decision? Not take you? What is wrong with them? Listen. The CEO needs to be fired. After we fire the CEO, and the CEO needs to fire the HR manager, who needs to fire the recruitment manager, because look, how can you, of all people, with all your potential, don't they know what's good for them? Don't they know what's good for them? And I went on and on and on and on until they said, Dad, it's okay. No! It's not okay. It's not okay. I can't stand it when people like that in the marketplace don't know what's good for them. We are taxpayers here, all right? Listen very carefully. It's okay. It's okay, Dad. It's okay. I'm all right. I'm all right. No, you're not all right. You're not all right. Yeah? They drew first blood. And I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go to their competitor, right? And they will hire you. And that's, yeah, we hire you. A time is coming, they're going to beg you because they don't know what's good for them. How about you? Use your tongue. Use your mouth to create your world, please. Right? You're either blessing, crossing, or you're not even doing anything at all. Not doing anything at all. Are you listening? Use your tongue. Use your tongue. I can't wait for you to... I can't wait. Should I wait for a church member to tell me I'm a good pastor? Eh? Twin. Should I? No. I'm good. I'm so good. I'm a good pastor. You know it. Even if you don't know it, yeah? Your children know it. You know it. Do you know it yet? Ahmad. Yeah? Tokumbo. Yeah? You know it? Yeah. If you don't, I have to tell you. I'm good. Eh? Femi? I'm good. The best pastor in Kent. Yes. Too much. Thank you. I'm about to take hand. Yeah. I'm about. Yeah. And the same thing I say about you too. Have you seen me tell my friends, have you seen all the nonsense you hear pastors say on Facebook? Oh, church members are bad. Which church members? Not mine. Mine are good. I have the... No, I'm not kidding. I have the best parish. The best people. I have the most beautiful women in town in this my church. I have the most handsome people in church. Have you seen my car park? We're not selling cars. That's how much God has blessed them. Hey! Come on now. Are you serious? Hey, Andy. Hey, chop knuckle. You understand? We don't get old in this church. I'm 52. Look. And I'm not the only one. Okay, watch this. Will all the over 50 stand up, please? Look. Oh, see, mommy, come here. Come. Are you kidding? See, parish. See, parish. Are you kidding? See, see from Tobago. Come here, my darling from Tobago. Oh, you see that? You see what I'm talking about? Are you kidding? Are you listening? Are you seeing? I said I'm the best. Exactly. We will go to the men. You see what I'm saying? She looks 35. She looks 25. She's a teenager. Thank you very much, ladies. Look about this one. Come here. This one is even the worst. Let's see. Thank you very much, man. Thank you. Over 50. Which church is like this? Instead of advancing, we are reducing in composition. Please take. My church. Hey, what can we do? They don't give. Which church? Do you know the same way people bless us, the same way they bless others, one another, in this church? The same way as you are blessing us with gifts. The same way members come to me and say, oh, pastor, this person bought me this. Life will respond to you based on what you say. It's not possible for me to have a bad church because it's not in my speech. It is not in my speech. What's in your speech is what you will taste. So manage your tongue. You are a co-creator now. What are you creating? Job 19:2. How long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? How long will you torment me and crush me with words? And break me in pieces with words. So, husband, mind your language. Wife, mind your language. In fact, mind your mind. Because before you speak, your mind is already working. Control yourself. Control yourself. If it's not edifying, don't say it. Ephesians 4, let no corrupt, unwholesome communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that is, may minister grace unto hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Every time you say things you're not meant to say, you grieve the Holy Spirit. Who pays for it? You. Now, you can't grieve the Holy Spirit by what you say on one hand and then come and pray in Jesus' name. God will not answer that. God would answer that. So many men have short-circuited their prayer process because you say nasty things and yet you are praying. God will hear you. You cannot grieve the Holy Spirit. You can't. God won't hear your prayers. He won't hear your prayers. So if you don't have anything edifying to say, just keep quiet and be rocking your head. Go work it out. Go work it out. Go to the street and start working. It's called discipline yourself. You understand? So when you come back home, hello, how are you? So this matter, can we talk about it? Control yourself. Yes, I just want to express myself. Express it and pay for it. Express it and pay for it. Psalm 19 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. So it's not just tithes and offering. Let the words of my mouth and what? Yes, tithes, offering. The words of your mouth is an offering. And the meditation of your heart is an offering. So let it be acceptable to you. So that's part, they're all part of your offering process. And so some will never get returns from their giving because you can't bribe God. And you heard people say, I've been paying my tithes, but there's nothing because your language is foul. It's all one unit. Your tithes, your offering, the words of your mouth, and the meditation of your heart be acceptable. So you can't give one and not give the other. Do you understand what I'm saying? So number three, our words display who we are. Your words display who you are. Luke 6:45, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is evil. So when you say nasty things, you are telling us that you are a nasty person. When you insult, right, you are telling those around you that you are full of insult. It is not expression of feeling, no. Right? When you give garbage, you are telling us that you are full of garbage. Does that make sense? You're full of garbage. So when you use garbage to respond to a situation, then you are telling us that you are full of garbage. Forget your education. Garbage is garbage. You know, but they may not tell you, but that's what you are saying. That's what the Bible says. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth. So what's in the well will come out in the water. Understand? Yeah? So what's in the tree will come out in the fruit. So this is how I have chosen to react to this situation. You this. Then that means that I am full of this. That's what we are saying. So what are you full of? When we squeeze you, what comes out? What comes out? When you are under pressure, what comes out? When you are angry, what comes out? That's who you are. And if that's what you put on the table on that night, that dating night, they will marry you. Fraud. You sugar-coated that bitterness. You sugar-coated that anger. Say, well, no, it's just because I'm... Yeah? Are you listening? So, hurting people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. It's not because you are upset. It's not because you are angry. You are a hurting person. You hurt others. Does that make sense? Because we don't have to use hurt to respond. If it's not in you, If it's not in you, it's not in you. Does that make sense? Yeah? If it's not in you, right? If all I am full of is love, even if you slap me, right? I don't know otherwise. You know, I remember I was telling a kid, I remember my kids. My kids say, oh, dad, my daughter, this person is bullying me. And I said, yeah. I said, my friend, why? I said, this guy, if he push you, push him back. And the girl was like, it's not in her. I said, do two things for me. Push him back and then run to the teacher and then go and be the first to report. I said, whoever reports first wins. Push him back. I guess, my daughter said, but push him back. She has never seen her father push her mother. Where would she learn that from? Push him back. How? You didn't teach me that. How do you tell push? How? What does pushing look like? So you do it, you give it because it's in you. Do you understand? An insecure person calls a confident person arrogant. My husband is very arrogant. My wife is very arrogant. This one, what about that one? Very arrogant. How about that pastor? Very arrogant. Oh, how about the church people? Oh, all of them very, 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 extremely, extremely angry. How about the baby? Ah, that crawling baby. The way the baby is crawling, the baby is very arrogant child. That's an insecure person. And men can be guilty of this. You know, sometimes we just talk about the women. And men can be guilty of this. A man can be insecure and then just mask it up big time. Mask it up, and you never know he's dealing with that. Yeah? You understand? A frightened person always attacks. A frightened person always attacks. So you know, say attack is the best form of defense. They're afraid. They've been hurt so much, and they're afraid that you're going to hurt them, right? So before you even, bang, they will attack you. But they are attacking you in self-defense, in anticipation of what may never happen. So what you do, what you say, displays you. So look at your reaction and ask yourself, where did that come from? Where did that come from? Because our destinies are hanging in the balance. Yeah? Praise the Lord. And then lastly, our words can delight others. They can delight others. Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Proverbs 25. In Proverbs 25:11. All right? So words can do what? Can delight others. Words can encourage others. So even if you are angry, the Bible says be angry, but do not sin. Right? So manage your speech. Manage your speech. Manage your speech. All right? So, gentlemen, when you get home, right, if you are married, fine, but make sure that you manage your speech. Say nice things to people around you. If you are a leader at work, say nice things about people that people respond to. How many of you will respond to something nice said about you? Yeah. You just gravitate towards people who speak nice things about you. So pass a generous compliment, right? Tell your spouse that she looks nice. Tell her that she's beautiful. Tell her she's hardworking. Tell her you care. Tell her all the nice things. Say it. Tell them that. Tell them. Be expressive. Be expressive. You say, if you don't know, I don't know how to do that. Then learn. Practice. Practice. This is where you fake it until you make it. Yeah? Right? So you go say, well, this is how to express. I don't know how to express love. So start, for since you are so stiff, and you were not taught how to love. So do that first. Just practice that. And then practice smiling, right? The first time you try it, it's like if you are having constipation. Just practice a hug. Practice a hug with your children, where your kids are watching. Go there. You know, some kids have never seen their dad hug their mom. Yeah? And it may look very difficult, but just try, you know, just practice. The first time can be very painful, but just, you know, yeah? Right? And then you do that. And they come again. What? And she will like it. Yeah? And then you try now. Then tell her, oh, wow, you look beautiful. Don't let anyone tell her she's looking beautiful, right? Let her hear from you first at home. Yes. Yeah, let her hear from you first at home. Hey, you look beautiful. I like that hairstyle. I like that makeup. I like that cosmetic. I like that lipstick. Say it. Say it. You practice, you say it. Isn't it? And voila. Hey, say it. You say it. Yeah. And I said, this is where the men say, hey, but Pastor, that is you. I don't have to be like you. I'm not wired that way. Then that's faulty wiring. They didn't wire you correctly. Something is wrong. 40 wiring. And that, listen very carefully, and that 40 wiring coming from your background. I'll tell you my story. I'll tell you my story. For a long time, my father is a single, my father was a lone child, right? So he never had other siblings, right? So I grew up, I never had a birthday party in my life before. Can you imagine that? No birthday party. I mean, I qualified as an accountant. All I got was a handshake, right? My father doesn't know how to show emotion. He just, you know, daddy, hey, I qualified, daddy. Well done, my son. I have a bottle of Coke in the fridge. They didn't know how to respond. I never knew there was a problem until I got to Cyprus. And I saw a father hug his son. Hey, Sagapo, I was like, I love you. I said, whoa. I was jealous. And I was angry. And I was bitter. Married to the son. And I got back home and I wouldn't say hello to my father. Because I was angry. I felt robbed. So don't tell me you're not wired that way. Learn. So then I made a decision. Well, I didn't get that. But I'm going to learn it and give it. I'm going to learn it and learn how to express my heart and my love to my wife, to my son, to my daughter, to all around me, including you now. So don't tell me you're not wired that way. Learn. Don't tell me you can't tell her I love you. Don't tell me I can't tell her head looks nice. Don't tell me. And then you stay at home like that and not say, and then when you get to work, what are you doing? Don't do that. The same thing with ladies. Respect the man. Respect him. My God. Respect him. Let him know he's the king of the castle. Respect him. Respect him. Give him honor. Respect. Sarah calls her Abraham. Lord, respect him. Whatever respect means, respect him like your father. Treat him nice. Speak to him with respect, with honor. Not just what you say, your approach. Approach him with honor. Approach him the way you will approach the palace. Because that, my friend, is your palace. Do you understand? Oh, man. Rest your feet and let us pray.